What's going on, guys, players? Steve Oat here, the ambassador. Welcome to What in the World podcast, where we discuss all things past, present, and future in the sport of whirly ball. I'm also joined by Mark Mills, a.k.a. Cram Yar Slim. What's up, Mark?
Hello.
And, of course, everyone's good friend, Mr. Noah Aaron. What's up, buddy?
How we doing?
Doing excellent. We got some whirly ball action coming up in less than a week.
Whoa!
What's
is
that, Steve?
Is that right?
Yeah, it is less than a week.
All
yeah,
right,
it is,
sweet.
Tournament play for the 2024 Invitational at Hearst will begin on Saturday, which is in the future for us right now.
But when this is released, will it be in the future still, or will it be in the present or the past?
In 1 week, it will be in the past. But we're also capturing this moment of time in perpetuity, so it will always have been in the future? Right?
All right.
I mean,
it depends on when it's released, right?
Yeah, it's like a, it's one of those, what was the movie where they did the time pincer movement? It wasn't Inception, it was the other one. Christopher Nolan's
the
next
one. The one with Thanos.
Tenet.
Oh.
Tenet. It was called Tenet.
I'm glad I'm not on Jeopardy right now.
Whew, we got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always just thought it was Thanos.
Oh,
whatever.
Different. Yeah, different reality. Yeah.
We went way down the rabbit hole.
There's a whirly ball tournament.
Yes.
In Hearst.
People are like, what did we just transition to? We were listening to one podcast and then it went to
we're a new podcast, people. Time centric. <Yeah.
laughs> In just a couple of days, the 2024 Hearst Invitational is gonna commence at the Hearst Center. Snowy working tirelessly to set it up. Community engagement going on. There's
and speaking of community engagement,
yeah. I'd like to welcome DeLorean's ready. Get him up to 88 miles per hour.
I mean, faster if you can even manage to do that. We have a very special guest. Somebody a little bit newer to the game, but he's definitely immersed himself in the presence, the community of whirly ball.
And has emerged as a fascinating personality. And we want to know more.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Cleveland's very own Josh Herzman.
Wow! Yo! Ooh. Yo, how's it going?
Good, man. What's going on? Thanks for joining What in the World podcast. Your initial thoughts on the invite to this auspicious podcast?
How are things in the future?
It was really awesome. The Super Bowl that happened yesterday was really good.
Nice.
Really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the team that won was so good.
Oh, they were awesome. I can't believe how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That thing with Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, you're telling me. Really brings me back to that Justin Timberlake halftime show. So it was really crazy stuff going on.
Haters are going to hate.
Yeah, true.
I mean, and his name's Marshall Mathers right now. He's doing all sorts of hating.
True.
I'm a little lost, so I'm going to bring it back. And what about, you know, Josh, one of the I think the first time that you and I met, I remember it vividly. It was in Cleveland at Nationals. And I remember I was hanging around Dan Doherty's Fix-It station, where he offered all kinds of scoop fixing capabilities. And I think he had like the new kind of scoop with a really long handle. And I think as you were walking past me, you mentioned that you recognized me by my voice and that I must be from the podcast.
Yes. Yep, I did. I was listening and I knew your voice is pretty recognizable. So when I heard it, I knew that you were from the podcast right away.
Man.
And I was standing right next to Noah and he had no idea who I was.
And that was really cool. Cause was that your first nationals in, when was that? 23.
Yeah. So the funny part is I did, I was part of our Cleveland leagues back when COVID was going on, and they ended up kind of disbanding it that year, about three games in. And, that same year we got called back. Hey, we're starting the leagues back up. And, when they first were mentioning, hey, Nationals is going to be in the Cleveland, I actually kind of thought it was a joke, cause I didn't really know much about it. And I thought they were just kind of messing with me. And then, you know, they showed me some banners and stuff. And I guess I just started getting hooked into watching the old, YouTube videos, and realizing it was sort of a real thing. And, you know, from there on, I just got hooked.
That's awesome. So how many kind of national events have you participated at now? Was it just the Cleveland Nationals and the Minnesota Invite?
Yeah, so that's all I've been to so far. Looking forward to the Hearst event as my kind of second event. So I'm still pretty new to it, and it was really cool to see kind of the support and outings that Minnesota got, and kind of hanging out with some people there. And, you know, of course, seeing the huge crowd of people at Nationals in Cleveland. So, getting to meet new people and stuff. It was really surprising. So it was definitely good times.
That's awesome. And, you know, when this podcast started, we were much younger, much less experienced, but equally as handsome. And at the time, we were, I think, a little bit more able to represent a viewpoint of kind of up-and-coming group of players as we were working our way through divisions and experiences. And now we probably are a little bit of a...
We've crossed that line, dude, veteran status.
Yeah. I feel a little bit more, you know, institutionalized, you know, in on the inside of a lot of paradigms of whirly ball. So I'm very excited, Josh, for you to join us and share, from your perspective as a relatively recent... whirly ball, you know, player on the national stage. And I'm curious, how has your, you mentioned you started leagues, got three games in and they shut down. How has it been developing from kind of that ground zero stage as a new competitive player in Cleveland to developing and joining the local community in Cleveland into whirly ball up through nationals? What is your experience been like? Any high points or things that you would wish to be better if you could do it again?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because luckily we have, you know, people, you know, like Whirly Freak and you know, Gus, obviously, and people that are recording a lot of these events. And that's been really neat because I've been able to kind of like look back and think of how I was playing in leagues when I first started, and then see how, you know, nationals, a little bit better, but still some, you know, some issues with the offense and shooting and things like that. And then Minnesota getting a little bit better, making a few shots here and there. So it's been cool to be able to see that progress. And, you know, I really owe a lot to the kind of the veteran, players that are in Cleveland because, you know, they've held practices and things like that. And, you know, like Anthony and Chili and really all of them, Brad, Jared, are really, you know, will stop the game or really explain things and kind of slow it down for me, you know, cause playing with them, it's so fast. You know, it's definitely like a different world than I'm used to. And so, you know, them kind of explaining the strategy and the why behind, you know, some of the things that we do and like how the defense works and how a 2-on-1 works and, you know, stuff like that. I've wanted to kind of put it into overdrive because I want to learn. I want to get better so quickly. So I'm thinking, you know, these invites and things like that, just any more court time is helpful. And, you know, ever since, nationals, I've been really focusing on, you know, offense because, you know, trying to, you know, make myself a little bit more well-rounded, I guess I could say.
Yeah, that's.
And then how much of a, as a podcast, have we influenced you as a player?
Great question.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? It started there. So I do try to listen to all the podcasts and get, you know, kind of insights and hear, you know, what different people are talking about. I'm also lucky that there's so many people that are recording, because I try to watch, you know, Texas's and Seattle's and, you know, basically all the different podcasts and videos. And then even old YouTube videos, I was watching, I found some, you know, obviously Clint's channel, Gus's channel, and everybody's channel. They've been recording so far back, but I've even seen some really old, unlimited videos, and just trying to pick up strategies.
VHS videos.
It looked like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the old ones from Atlanta.
Yes, there are definitely some old ones that were more fun, but, you know, I'll even, you know, pause those while somebody's shooting just to kind of see, you know, how their shot goes, how their arm movement goes, and, you know, just trying to grab little snippets from everybody. It's funny because, like, I've never met some of these people, but I feel like I know them because I've watched them play a ton through, you know, the different videos on YouTube.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Well, don't be, shy in introducing yourself to those people that you see, you know. It's a great community.
Yeah, everybody, I can tell you already, everybody's been really cool. From the first time I met the people from Michigan, they came down and played with us. And, you know, I was sitting there and all the Cleveland guys went away. And Clint was like one of the first people to come up and say hi and stuff like that. So everybody's been really cool. Same thing with Minnesota. You know, it's just, it's a cool atmosphere where, you know, it seems like you could just go and talk to anybody and everybody. And, you know, obviously we all share this common thing. So once you start talking whirly ball, it seems like a lot of people kind of perk up and you always have something to talk to. It's not like, oh, hey, how's the weather outside? It, you know, there's this common thing amongst all of us, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
We do care about the weather outside too, by the way.
That's true, but we're inside, so, you know,
yeah.
No deal.
Yeah, we play an indoor tournament during the summer. To me, that never really made that much sense, but, you know, I go with the flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, occasionally.
Until we can get a Whirly Ball Winter Classic, and then
that would be cool.
Outdoor whirly ball on ice.
I'm into it.
We could do bumper boats. Apparently, we already do it in Seattle. But
yeah, it's been
get real ones.
You know, that's. I mean, we've been talking about doing that for years. It's time, like, somebody take action.
Maybe, what have we been talking about?
Well, like, you know, at least the Seattle community about doing bumper boats.
This is the first I've heard of it. I have heard bumper boats referred to. So, Josh, as you, I'm sure, have experienced or seen or at least heard of, every court just feels a little bit different, whether it's the size or dimensions of the court or the cars in particular, whether it's a clutch car or a brain car. It can have a massive difference on the way the cars move and collide into each other. And in Seattle, we've got a cool feature where we've got brain cars, which means that at zero speed, they can still put out some torque. And our floors are cleaned up pretty regularly, which means the floors are pretty slick. Also, we replaced the wood slats in between the metal parts with, like, phenolic that's pretty slick. So the floors are kind of slick, and the cars create a lot of torque, which means you can push people around from a standstill pretty easily. And it becomes a part of the game in Seattle, which...
It's a lot of fun.
We grew up on it, and we love it. The guys from Michigan and Dallas who don't get to practice that way, because in the brain cars... on stickier floors, you know, they, once the bumpers touch, like, you're not, you know, when the cars are stopped, you're not pushing anybody.
Yeah, you're done.
You're done. And so you learn to play the game differently. You know, little driving techniques are different. And so in Seattle, when they come over, and the idea of like, wait, you can just drive through somebody and you just sort of like push them, and it feels like driving bumper boats. And so they intend to refer to the Seattle cars as bumper boats in a derisive manner. But yeah, I mean, hell yeah, they're bumper boats. It's awesome. We love it. So that's, Steve, my only understanding of where bumper boats fits in. I haven't ever heard of us actually proposing going out and bumper boating on like boats in water. Is that, has that been proposed? Are we, is that the, is that?
Well, you know, they have like the bump, they call them bumper boats, aren't they, on like the indoor amusement parks or whatever?
With
Yeah.
We used to have that Fantasia with the bumper boats, but we're out of business.
And then you each have your little bumper boat. You're on water, and you can, like, pass the football around. Like, and like, you can bump into people.
These bumper boats are a thing that people can fit on, and they're about the size of a whirly bug, and you can boat them around?
Yeah. We have something like that here in Cleveland.
What?
Yeah, you've never heard of bumper boats?
You've never been on a bumper boat?
Never been on a bumper boat. Oh, my God. When we say bumper boats, I just assume people are talking about the Seattle cars.
No, they're a real thing.
No, yeah. they're a real thing.
Yeah. But no, you are right. They do refer to Seattle as the bumper boat cars, and that, I think that's why.
Like, I can understand the concept of, you know, bumper boats. Like, I can visualize it. Okay. I don't know that I've ever seen ones that
Yeah, they're about the size of a wormy bug. They're just on water. Usually circular too. Yeah, they're circular. Yeah.
See, this would be
and they have little water. They have little water guns you can spray people with. And, yep.
All right, this would be interesting viewership right now, because we'd be able to show the audience, like, all right, Noah's never seen bumper boats.
Noah's Google clip right now.
You know.
I mean, I can visualize it.
But you got to
clearly,
you got to see the real thing. Though
I will do some, like, I've seen remote control ones, but never one that a person could fit in.
All right, so we got to let the people know next episode what your review of actual bumper boats are.
Yeah, and I'll figure out where the nearest ones are and see if we can, you know, figure out how to make a ball float.
All right, we found our guy Mark, who's going to lead us to a new land here where we actually organize.
Yeah.
I mean, and then we're gonna need Dan Doherty's help with the right
scoop. Oh, you know what? Maybe like
the water scoop.
Yeah, or the really long handled one, so we can pick the ball out of the water. I don't know the dimensions of this thing.
Maybe the Fantasia and Tukwila still has bumper boats.
Oh yeah,
The batting cages arcade place.
They have bumper boats
in
front.
The one in Edmonton used to have one. It just went out of business.
No way. I have been to that one.
Yeah, it was on the outside when you entered. And the go-kart track and the miniature golf.
I mean, Mark, maybe like society didn't feel that Noah was ready to know about
I know, right?
So they hid it from him. They hid it from him, those bastards.
There's many glitches in the Matrix here. All right.
That's why you're allergic to cats.
We really need this time machine.
Josh, your take. Bumper boats. Yeah. Are they real or are they messing with me?
No, they're real. We got them here in a city called Geneva. They're really slow, but they're still pretty fun.
Geneva of the famed convention?
No. Here's a Geneva on the lake. It's like
okay, so not near here, Switzerland.
Different. All right. Yeah, different. Okay. All they right. might have some too, though.
Noah, Steve, check your phones. I just sent a picture of the Tukwila Fantasia with some bumper boots.
Yeah, I have nothing.
I don't have time for this.
I mean,
am I downloading? All right, that
downloading is. I sent a picture.
That is. Man, we got to put this up on the Whirly Balls, on the websites, on the Facebook something, because that I am immediately less interested.
I knew it was going to be a down when you saw the picture.
Yeah, first of all,
like, give the person a word ball scoop and not a moose.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's a moose in an inflatable tire, and
they're inflatable tires. They're
just
bumpers.
Inflatable tires. That's they're
motorized.
You're just sitting in an inflatable tire. This...
No, they're motorized. You drive around in them.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. No, I'm sure it's cool.
If you look, the guy has his hands on a motor that's driving him around.
I'm envisioning...
That's a mascot of Fantasia.
I'm envisioning some whirlyball-sized folks like myself not struggling with the water line.
If a moose can do it.
That's true.
All right, so there you have it, everyone. Bumper boats. Are they real? Are they not? Get back to us. Yeah. So, Josh... You participated in your first nationals this past year in Cleveland. Is that right?
Yep, exactly. First one.
And initial impressions of the tournament itself, the way it was ran, seating. You know, what are some things that you liked? What are some things that maybe, if at all, you think could improve?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the whole thing was awesome. You know, seeing everybody was awesome. How it was ran was cool. The schedule was set up, you know, pretty nice. So, you know, everybody knew, hey, when am I supposed to be there? When am I not supposed to be there? I was sort of looking forward to the money tournament. I know we kind of ran out of time. I think that would be pretty cool to participate in. I one thing I enjoyed about the Invitational in Minnesota was it was cool playing on teams of people that I've never played with. So, I think that would kind of add that aspect in there, which would be pretty cool. I don't really have too many negatives to say about it. I think the whole thing was, was just a good time. Of course, my team didn't win, so that's a negative, I suppose. But other than
that, Minnesota team came in hot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they cheated. I'm almost positive on this, but. I've been watching video, so I'll let you know when I've been seeing some weird stuff, so I'll let you know.
There's glitches at certain times in the video.
Video is deleted at certain points. The goal goes off. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Did the Illuminati like go around the country and find these individuals from like the depths of nowhere?
Yeah.
And bring together like a Black Ops team?
They were juicing the cars.
That's the thing. That's the thing, the yeah. I was something low grade tranquilizers. Nobody got tested. I noticed, so I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, the whole weekend, all I smelled was ketamine out there after those guys.
Yeah, it was something was going on out there. So it was definitely weird. I'll get to the bottom.
All right.
So at Nationals, were there any? So you'd watched a lot of videos, so you may not have been as surprised by the level of play there. But were there any moments that you saw on the court, whether in your games or other games that you watched, that stood out as like a wow, that was impressive kind of moment?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's just seeing the versatility of a lot of the players, where there are so many different players that on a team that could shoot. You know, where like on a lot of teams that I've seen, like, you know, even the D teams and stuff like that, there was like a certain go-to player, and there still is, I'm, you know, sure, or from what I hear, like with the other teams, but it seems like everybody's fairly good at a lot of different skill positions. And, you know, just the way they transition down the floor, everything just being so much faster is pretty cool. And then I was kind of used to it though, because I did watch a lot of the unlimited games, and just seeing some of those past ones where it's like score after score, people going for longer shots and stuff. It's impressive to see different levels, because, you know, again, we have some really good players in Cleveland, but we only have a small handful, so it's interesting to see these different places, you know, like Seattle and other places where you're bringing so many teams, and there's so many, you know, kind of good players, which was kind of impressive to me.
Yeah, I do remember in Cleveland, particularly the Unlimited tournament, where, you know, seeing the Seattle Five guys just go off, and the speed with which, I mean, Michigan as well, that you see in Unlimited, where it's just like buzzer, ding, rebound, ball down the court, guy's got a half-open shot, leans a little bit, ding, rebound, flings the ball back down court. Okay, another guy's got a half-open shot, ding, buzz, and it's been 10 seconds, and there have been, you know, four shots scored. All of them hit. All of them hit. What is happening?
It's also incredible, too, just some of the driving skills, you know, where, like, I would be, like, stuck needing to turn around to try to, like, find somebody to pass to, and they're, you know, somehow working around or working their cars to get in certain spots. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because, you know, you hear all these names, like, you know, I think Middle Michigan, Sam, you know, Sam Kim and, you know, James Gill, and a lot of these different names here. Oh, they're really great and stuff, and you're, but you don't, I don't think you get a grasp of it until you, like, see them play or see some, you know, video of them playing, and you're like, wow, okay, this is what people are, you know, talking about, basically. So, it's definitely cool. It's interesting. That's one reason, you know, it's easy to get hooked, in my opinion.
Yeah. I remember, like, I knew the name James Gill, and I was told that, like, this guy's the guy.
Yep.
And I remember, you know, lucky enough to be able to, after a couple of years, work up to, you know, in Seattle to be able to play in either a pickup game or a league game against him. And I just remember being aware of him wherever he was. And I thought, all right, well, I'll just dog him a little bit and try and make sure he doesn't beat my team single-handedly. And so I got him, you know, three-quarters of the court, you know, back in his own defensive end. And I had him, like, pinned against the wall, like, facing the wrong way. And then James called for the ball. And I was defending him, and he was facing the wrong way, three-quarters of the way away from the basket he was shooting at. And I had him pinned against the side wall in a good defending position. James calls for the ball, gets it, and I kind of was like, there's no way. So I just put my scoop up, you know, tried to, you know, defend him, and James shot a forehand around me like it was nothing. And it was a no-doubter 3 points from a shot that I would have bet money was impossible a second before he shot it. And everyone else was like, yeah, that's James. Figure it out.
Business as usual.
That's just what he does. Don't be surprised. That is not an aberration. And it's just, holy
And now
cow.
We're best friends.
Well, we've all experienced the learning moment with James Gill at one point.
He's a very good teacher.
I mean, it's
through experience only.
I mean,
yeah, there's video of me blocking him. No big deal.
Oh, dang. I mean, there's video of me blocking him as well. And then I celebrated with a little, like, fist pump.
Yeah, that was your fault.
Yeah. And then I got him real mad, and he got real motivated. And I shouldn't have done that. That was on me.
See, then when I blocked him, you celebrated for me as well.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Guys, I just think it's important to point out, I'm still waiting for that block, boys. I don't think it's going to happen.
You'll get back to the referee.
I mean, we may have to, like, you know, coax him into doing, you know, giving me a pity shot, come on, or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
it's nice. You don't want a pity block.
You gotta get a real one.
Right, you guys are right. Yeah. You guys are right. Yeah. Moving beyond terrible ideas, Josh, is there anybody, any players in particular that, besides the three of us, that you're idolizing? And
obviously,
do you want to ask the question?
The question.
The dream team.
The dream team. How much film do you watch? That is a very valid question, Mark. As you know,
I watch a lot.
Okay. With that said, you have, if you claim to be an actual listener of the show, like you have said, you'll know.
He recognized me by my voice.
Allegedly.
No, I was there. I was there.
I was there too, and he had no idea who I was. You don't talk that much.
Well.
Yeah, but my face is recognizable through audio. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true.
Face for radio. Yeah, so Josh, your dream team, which five players, based upon what you've seen and what you've experienced, who would you bring together to play with?
And you and four is the usual
the format?
So you and you could pick four other players to be your dream team. Who would you like to be on it?
I mean, us three and then anybody off the street.
Yes!
All right.
About time.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Finally...
He does listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Correct. That was the correct answer. We've been waiting for years. We have a true listener.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a fourth host.
For at least another 30
per hour as this goes, yeah.
Yeah.
But that'll be the future.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm the host forever.
In present time, we fired the fourth host.
Later.
No, when they're listening to it.
That's what I'm saying. Not now, but the present at a later.
The present.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
This unfortunately be the last episode of What in the World.
My first act as host is to cancel the podcast.
Yeah.
Who invited this guy on again?
This is the last episode of What in the World, Cleveland.
Oh man! So, all right. So that's a great answer. So,
yeah.
The opposite question: do you have a nemesis or someone who you perhaps really enjoy playing against, or someone that brings out your best play when you square up against them?
That's a good question. Just because I haven't played so much competitively, I'd have to say maybe any of the Minnesota team. But then I would say, unfortunately, I ended up playing on Luke's team as like one of the pickup games in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then it was hard to not like him because I was able to pass it to him, let him shoot it in and make me look awesome. So, I don't know if I necessarily have a nemesis, but I think it's always good to, try to beat any of those teams that, that we've had. So I think I definitely will have some nemesis though once I play a little bit more. I don't think I'm good enough yet.
You talk trash, Josh? You talk trash on the court?
Not too much. No, maybe when I was younger, but I don't, like in other sports and stuff. But
can that be the present, Noah?
I normally try to let my game play for it.
That's awesome. So speaking of talking on the court, one of my observations that I shared on the podcast was in Minnesota, if memory serves, you were on a team with Anthony.
Yeah.
And Anthony felt very comfortable speaking to you in very short, terse, loud, and aggressive conversational bullet points.
He must really like you a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the love language.
Yeah.
The love language. And I mentioned that to an outside observer, it might have seemed bordering on abuse. But it looked like, from your reactions and interactions, and obviously you guys know each other from back home, that it no harm, no foul, and in fact it was just terse communication. What was your did you grow up in a family that screams at each other all the time?
It's funny, it's funny. I'm sort of used to. I it's funny when I heard that initially, I was like, man, I thought he was actually kind of nice to me in Minnesota. that seems to be, I kind of learned very quickly that sort of like the style or kind of way it goes. Like there's a lot of yelling on the court.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely had some practices where like me and Chili have yelled at each other, and stuff like that. I don't tend to yell too much, but, I know it's, a lot of teams lot of times that people are yelling at each other, you know, because we want to motivate or get each other better. But, you know, then it, as long as once we step off the, you know, the court, it's back to normal. And it's always been that way, you know. So I think you just got to know where people are coming from and stuff. And Anthony's done a ton to help me understand the game. You know, put an extra time, you know, after practice helping me shoot. He's always there for, you know, questions and just super supportive. But it's funny because when I heard that on the podcast, I didn't even notice that. But I know Brad Dobie's got a good laugh when he heard that.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you know, I think a number of us, you know, you play long enough, we all have. You know, there's high pressure, time critical information that needs to be shared on the court. And then you couple that up with the competitive juices of, you know, a winner, a competitor like Anthony, and, you know, thinking of some moments that I've had on the court as well, where it just comes spilling out of me. I think you're spot on, you know, the emotions, the drama, the intensity,
yep,
of being on the court, of trying to do everything you can to help your team win, you know, even if it feels like it spills over a line that wouldn't be suitable in, you know, cocktail dinner situations. It's all okay as long as when we walk off the court, you know, we're we return to be, yep, friends and family and continue to have a great time and can leave it on the court. And I think I think that is generally the case, that we all do that and it's all part of it. And oftentimes it brings us together, or it creates opportunities to just further, you know, get out the strategy boards and talk things out. But it is nice that it, you know, it's regular. I think it's just a competitive environment with a lot of competitive juices, yep, going, and, you know, it's part of it.
With the occasional abuse.
And the occasional abuse.
If you need help, blink twice. Thank you. Thank you. You didn't blink. He's okay, guys.
Everything's good. A4, it's totally fine. I yell it out, and then everybody leaves me alone for a little while.
What's the key word there?
Watermelon.
Oh, that's a good one.
The safe word?
I just got
all right.
Two texts, but they're just pictures of your eyes closed. So I don't think that's.
Oh, sorry. I was hard to find the button when I had my.
So Noah was kind of alluding to this earlier, but because, like you were saying, you were watching film and seeing how people shoot and kind of,
yep,
learning from that. So who is there a person that you kind of watch a little bit more and draw inspiration from, trying to get like your arm in that position, or try to shoot quick or get high, or,
you know, I think it's just everybody, to be honest with you. Like all the big names you can think of, like, you know, I've watched a lot of Cleveland C games back, even though, you know, it's nice because Anthony's kind of teaching me to shoot, Chili's teaching me to shoot, stuff like that. You know, I kind of talk to everybody about shooting, but just kind of seeing their, you know, obviously I know kind of what they're telling me, they're coaching me in a moment of, you know, where to end up and stuff like that. And just, I've noticed that there's a difference between maybe some people that have been playing for a while and doing more of like the, like hesitation or something, where you like go to shoot, but then pull back, compared to like other people that do more of like a follow through. And so I've just, like, that's some things that I kind of look at and, you know, and just try to see kind of where their arm is, where the ball's coming out, and just try to get a better idea. But to answer your question, just kind of everybody, like, I'll look through unlimited games, and if I see somebody's really shooting well, you know, a lot of the Texas teams, you know, I know Chris Bolte, I've seen him shoot a little bit on there. Obviously, Sam Kim, you know, just really everybody. If anybody's looking like they're really on that game, then I kind of try to look back and see what they're doing and or what their positioning is, things like that.
Josh, are you a politician? A very good answer. Yeah. Very
you want everyone
well
to love
thought,
you.
Like, yeah, I've got nothing, you know, you've silenced
me. I can't burn any bridges until I get good enough to be able to do that. Like, I can't trash talk yet until I, you know, until I'm good enough to be able to trash talk. Cause if I trash talk and then miss five, it's not going to help.
You keep blinking, man. Just keep blinking.
So that's an interesting, do you have near-term goals for your game, what you want to develop, what you want to where you want to position yourself in Whirly Ball in the next year or two?
Yeah, and I was going to, just really quick before you answer that, I was thinking earlier when we were talking about Nemesis, if you didn't have, you know, a person, you know, to your point, you know, does he have like a personal nemesis, something, you know, some goal he's trying to set, you know, or thing about the game that, you know, he's still frustrating him or something to that degree?
Yeah. So, you know, I think offense is the big thing. Like, I've really been focusing on that. So I heard a lot about defense and like and when we're talking about like going to nationals, like, hey, and D, you know, defense is super important. And I totally agree with that. You hear defense with championships, all that stuff. But, you know, I think if you look at like, you know, either look at the Minnesota team that won, you know, that was done heavily by, you know, offense. And, you know, I definitely felt like, hey, I if I was shooting a little bit better or we made more shots, you know, we'd be put in a better spot. So I've really been trying to focus on, you know, shooting and trying to get as much time and, you know,
which,
you know,
side of the court do you enjoy more, the offense or the defense? Or
I definitely like offense, but I've been playing a lot of carry, and it's just it came kind of natural, I guess. Like, it's just like nobody was going there, so I went there, and then I just kind of started playing that, and then in our practices, just trying to learn that spot first, I guess. And then that kind of spread with me being on the same team as Anthony and saying, hey, why don't you play cherry most of the time? And so now I'm sort of working where I got to get more transitional. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams, you know, you're not sitting in one spot. You're, you know, moving around. And, you know, so that's my goal, is to continue with the shooting side, and then try to get more transitional, where I'm doing a better job, you know, in transition and some of the other positions. I got short arms, so I'm not the best person to put back.
I'm right there with you, buddy.
Defense. Yeah, I'm not the best person to be on defense.
I was like, you're telling the story of my Whirly Ball career.
There you go. See.
Yeah. See, I was just about to give some terrible advice from what we refer to in competitive Whirly Ball as a tall. And it is, you know, a privilege that I have to recognize, but I remember, you know, defense first. And so I played a lot of, goalie, and that's kind of my, you know, original position. It's one of my more comfortable positions. And then exactly as you say, like, well, I gotta be able to figure out how to develop and do something else. And so one of the next natural position for a tall is cherry, or in Seattle we call it floater. And so I would go float, and I realized that bouncing back and forth between floater and goalie,
that's another bumper boat term, by the way, floater.
Oh yeah, yeah. Steve, I need
that's
to
what we call a callback.
Steve, I need you to check me on something real quick. Have All we right. been playing bumper boats this whole time?
I believe
he's the
so.
Moose.
Yeah.
Have I been the moose in the tire?
We finally opened your eyes. Oh, you're recognizing. God.
That's why Seattle calls it floater and not cherry. and so, you know, those two positions, cherry and goalie, they, you know, they're like the two positions on the court that don't necessarily transition every play. And so you get some one-on-one car driving. As goalie, you get the perspective of how to build a defense. As chair, you get a perspective of how to set up an offense. You know, if you do, if the team is working really well, the cherry doesn't shoot and the goalie doesn't block, cause you know, the defense is set up, but, yeah. And then from there, I was like, all right, well, at some point I realized like, in order to move up to, you know, B or A, you kind of, I feel like I need to be a lights out shooter from, you know, from four welds,
because
that's what I see these guys that move up. They all are. And so like, I got to go develop the, my transition game and all that. But yeah, that is, I think for me, that was my development path, was those kind of roles of cherry and goalie and then the transition game. It brings me back. I love it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm you know, Josh, kind of in the same boat that you are, where, you know, I gravitated toward offense to start, and, you know, that's where I'm most comfortable. But I am trying to get better on defense, especially in the hole. I don't have a lot of success in our cars, though. I, you know, being a lighter guy, I get pushed around a lot, but, you know, still trying my best, so.
Yeah, and
in the water, you just move along.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's true.
I'm just some great equalizer. Driftwood in the way, you know, just push me out of the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's real fun.
Yeah, and, you know, as the corollary to the talls is, of course, the smalls.
The smalls.
Which is a role that Steve fills well. And what I also noticed, you know, the great privilege of being tall is I don't have to have my car positioned all that well, because I can just reach out and still be effective. But the smalls, like, holy cow, they are typically better drivers because they have to be. And so that's been pretty, you know, like Jay Fania is a great example of someone who, when he plays goalie, like, he can play some goalie.
Right.
Now, like, if you got somebody, you know, monstrously tall that can just shoot over him, you know, there are mismatches that happen there. And so the only countermeasure is, all right, well, I got to get an incredibly better position. This guy can't just dunk it. And, you know, I see that in Steve. I see that in Jay. You know, a number of folks, even Mark, you know, the driving and the positioning just is better than my natural inclination, because I can get lazy and make up for it with reach.
Yeah, and as a short arm person, I'm still not sure why I'm not allowed to use the extendo scoop that I made that extends up a couple feet up. Yeah. But I'm still hoping.
It's clearly written out on page 7 of the rule book, Whirly Ball National.
There are 7 pages of rules.
I hope that was a joke.
I mean,
yeah, no,
it's an arbitrary number. It's an arbitrary number.
Yeah, and let's be
fair. It was the last thing they thought of, if there's 7 pages. They're like, and note 2.
I mean, you would hope there are 7. It's a lucky number, right?
I mean, that's true.
It's good fortune.
But, yeah.
Outside
of China, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there really is a book, so it's in, and because it's in that book, it I guess it's so, you know. Can we argue with that?
Well, I think we're going to have to, because again, these new scoops, these new trackball scoops that are a different form factor that are now the norm, I don't know what we call these things, Gen 3s or something. The Gen 3s.
I think a lot of people are using those, though. I have one in front of me now, but not a lot of people use them, so.
Yeah.
They weird me out, man. I don't like them.
I don't like them. I mean, maybe it's because, you know, again, I'm old, but I feel like the grip, the part that you hold is
the wrong way.
It's the wrong way. Yep. It's like 90 degrees off of the way it's supposed to be.
Somebody made one, though. Somebody fixed that with theirs. I forget who it was, but somebody at Nationals had one of the new scoops and they turned the handle the right way.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Dan. Dan had a couple of different variants of the scoop, including like the extraordinarily long handled one. And
he made one for me. I bought one from him.
So. You know, you actually holding the handle, this would seem to give advantage to somebody with a really good forehand, I think, because it's more of a curve, right? And if you're not shooting straight on,
Let me take a hold of this thing. Yeah. My,
like I said,
and when we
forehand,
when we say Dan, we mean Dan Doherty scooping.
Yeah, like it's like somebody who shoots like Jeremy, this might work a lot for, you know, that thumb up and then roll the thumb forward and turn the wrist like that, where it's not like pushing with the wrist forward, but it's rolling the wrist over the thumb. Like that's where it can help, but God, it's so trash.
It is slightly longer too, so
should we start a petition to like have Jeremy use one of these for the 2024 Whirlyball National Tournament?
I think I honestly think we could give Jeremy a ping pong paddle and he'd be fine.
I'd pay money to see that.
Let's find out. Yeah.
I did actually just get a scoop back that I sent out to be modified. Which I'm excited to. I was excited how it turned out. So I was having one of my wallets kind of redone. It's a gunsmithing place, and they do this thing called Cerakoting. And when I was talking to the guy, they can do that to plastic. And with a black base, they're able to put this stuff on called gun candy. And so basically the color of it now, instead of it being black, because it's one of the old kind of 75 scoops, it now transitions from blue to purple, which I think it looks pretty cool.
Oh, dang. Can I get like the tip of my scoop covered in like, I don't know, some kind of primer so that when I slash somebody, it explodes?
Yeah, that's what the gun candy is, right?
That's what I
mean. Josh, that's a good
pop pop.
Yeah, it's a good team name for
gun candy. Yeah, is gun candy.
That's true. I should put. You know what I'll do is I'll stick those little popper things you throw that make a noise on the ground. Yeah. I'll tie those around the edge of it so I can slam it against the ground and. You know, as a celebration after I shoot.
That's not an enhancement on the scoop. It just comes natural.
And that team name could be Smoke Bomb.
Smoke Bomb.
There you go. Yeah, I like that.
Throw it down and disappear.
Gun candy, copyrighted of the Wooden World Podcast.
What was that, Mark? You kind of went out there.
I think Mark was something about the express written consent of Major League Baseball was in there, I think.
Yeah. I was like, good game. You expected to what the World Podcast is 2024.
Yeah, so I think we heard him correctly the first time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as
we now own the rights to the name Gun King.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah. No, because of the all of the side effects that you listed.
Yeah. Not saying side effects is a Dan Doherty scoop, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, I had never thought about, you know, visiting some of those, like a gunsmith is a great idea, or even some of the hydro dipping kind of finishings that you can get put on some of the like plastic car parts. Oh.
Yeah, I've painted them before and stuff like that. They, you know, I'm certainly no professional, so they came out okay, but you know, then I was talking to the guy and it kind of just like they had a motorcycle there that they were doing, so I'm like, hey, if they can do a motorcycle, they got to be able to see what they can do with this thing. So
you once posted a question on the forum about scoops, correct? About like people like them and stuff, and people lied about it, and they're like, yeah, I don't care about what scoop I have.
I was surprised. Like, I am very particular with the scoop.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying. People lied about it, saying they didn't care, but people use particular scoops, obviously, or they would use those weird, normal, or new, Cybertronic scoops.
People are very particular about their scoop setup.
Yeah,
well, and that's why you go to a professional like Dan, who's seen them all and dealt with them all. You know,
that's right.
He's got everything that you need for
Mr. Fix-It
scoop and scoop accessories.
I find
if we had a commercial, it might go something like this. Damn it, didn't work.
That was let's try it again. Let's try it again.
Okay. I mean, if we had a commercial, it might go something like this. Nope, still didn't work.
In a world of inferior scoops, one company dares to make a superior scoop. Dan Doherty Scoop Co. A superior scoop for a superior player.
So now, Josh, correct me if I'm wrong. Were you aware of the Dan Doherty Scoop Company before you met Dan Doherty at Nationals?
Yeah, so the funny thing with that is I was watching, again, maybe I should take this more seriously, because I was watching a video and somebody had said, Dan Doherty ran out there, to fix the scoop of some player from Dan Doherty Scoop Company. I thought it was a joke. And then I looked on YouTube, and or not on YouTube, I looked on Facebook, and I actually found it, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's the real thing. I've definitely bugged him quite a bit. I even heard him on one thing saying like, yeah, nobody really sends their scoops to me and pays for shipping, and it's like, oh man, I just did that. He's got one of my scoops right now. just because I'm so crazy, I even built one of the boards with his, with his help, and might actually have him help me build it, but trying to form some of them out, and he definitely does a better job than I do, so I need to learn from him before I ruin any more scoops by trying to bend them out myself. So
I know pretty soon he's going to have to change his name to Dan Doherty Scoop Company and More.
Yeah. Super excited about his latest innovation. So we've been talking about it for a long time. How to build a better or useful sensor, goal target sensor. The Nets are kind of the standard, but they have their issues, particularly with backboards that have a lot of motion and vibration. If you hit the backboard and the backboard starts swinging a little bit, then the net can start swinging. It can set off the sensor. And also in Chicago, where they had that fabric flap or plastic flap, it was difficult to see if the ball went through or if it didn't go through. And so Dan has developed using a laser curtain, to be able to sense if the ball went through the hole, and it's some amount of the ball, a little over half, breaks the laser curtain, then it seems foolproof.
So you're a fan.
I am so excited about it. And he, of course, hooked it up to a buzzer and a light system. And from the initial indications, it seems pretty foolproof. And it also seemed like one of the missing ingredients to be able to have a really successful Nationals. When we did the invite last year, that was like the only thing that was, a bit of a shortfall from the on-court kind of capabilities of the Chicago Center, was that ability of sensing whether or not a Wuerlich was scored. And those laser curtains, I am so excited about those. And again, it doesn't matter how much the backboard shakes. Something has to break that laser curtain. I'm like tickled. I'm really jazzed about it. I think Dan is doing such a great job with that.
I mean, yeah, that could be the future of all the centers.
I think as much as we've talked about the future, this really is the present.
Nice.
All right.
All right. How are we doing here? We got the invite coming up. We should probably talk a little bit about the invite. Josh, you're going to the invite, right?
Yep, I'll be there.
Anybody else from Cleveland that you're aware of going?
Just Brad Dobies.
Just Brad Dobies. Right on. I'm excited about it. It looks like somewhere between 50 and 60 people are going to be there, probably 60. Obviously, good Texas representation. Seattle's bringing 5 or 6. Looks like Michigan's going to bring quite a posse. Atlanta, so good to see Atlanta going there. Can't wait to see Beckett and Brad and I think Trey's going. And Kyle, who I still consider Atlanta, even though he lives in Texas. I'm super excited about it. It looks like we're going to have, some details are still coming together around the draft and the tournament formats. It looks like there's a good amount of fun. Looks like there's a good amount of fun to be had at that tournament. It looks like so we'll do the draft, I think, on Saturday. We'll have some fun time where we might do some city-on-city stuff. Then we'll have the big tournament for the rest of Saturday and all of Sunday, and I think a little bit into Monday. And then maybe a mini-tournament where we break it down into a little bit more of like the divisional style. So traditionally at Invites, they are just open and mixed tournaments. So everybody that goes gets broken up just like we did in Minnesota, where every team gets one or two, A-ish players and one or two-ish D-ish players. And then, CB in the middle. Last year, we had the Sam Kim Invitational, where we had people broken up into divisions. So you had like the elite upper division, and then you had the upper and a lower division. But it was that one was by invitation only, as the Sam Kim special. And this one, there was an attempt to like, all right, how do we, what can we try to take the good stuff that we did of the buy invite only, but also try and make it more inclusive? And Snowy will be the first one to tell you, like, let's try some stuff. And if it works, I mean, we're going to have fun. And if there's stuff that we learned, stuff that didn't work, all right, we'll do it differently next year. And I think it's pretty cool that we're going to try and innovate, try something new and see if we like it. And then and then go from there.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I know they did the change to it, so it'll be interesting, interesting to see it go second one, so I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah. Steve, what are you looking for? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we might have lost Mark. He messaged me saying that he was messing with his headset and dropped off, so. I'm back.
Hey, oh, Matt. Yeah, okay, yeah.
From outer space.
Yeah, hence the several awkward seconds of silence that we had for a moment. That's me trying to get better on the board. And to be fair, it's been a while since we've done anything this complicated.
Honestly, I thought it was pretty simple. It was pretty good. I don't think anybody in the audience knew Mark was missing. It was just Noah off on a rambling rant. Seamless. Mark, what do you think about all the things that we said while you weren't on headset?
Everything you said was perfect. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Nice.
Even I wasn't on.
Nice.
Noah, Josh and I were talking earlier. Do you think that you could maybe break down the exact format of the invite?
I thought I just did.
In terms of do we know players yet or anything like that? What's going on? I heard that there may be a draft.
My understanding of where we're at, and I think things are still a little bit in flux, and so things will get straightened out. But it looks like with the 60 players that we expect, that is 12 teams. They're going to be split into two divisions for the main tournament. Again, there are going to be other mini tournaments kind of around it. But the main tournament, I think it's going to be 6-on-6. Subject to change. Not 6-on-6. 6 in the upper division, 6 in the lower division. In the upper division, they're going to assign two captains to each of those six teams. So there should be 12 captains assigned. And then in the upper division, they're going to run a draft, a snake draft, which will be pretty cool.
And you can tune in.
And I was going to say, that's going to be streamed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the intent is for it to be streamed and for, I believe, Steve and I to provide commentary during the draft. Oh. And be able to, the hope is to be able to live stream it and be able to interview some of the captains as they are making selections and after they've made selections and understand the thought process, hear what their scouting reports were, take predictions and provide feedback on the decision making and critiques in real time. And that should happen around starting around 1 p.m. on Saturday at
Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, whatever Hearst is in. Is that Central or Eastern?
I don't know. I'm just making that up.
I'm pretty sure it's Central. Yeah.
Because Central,
he goes, yeah, it's definitely Central time.
Well, okay. I haven't seen the contract yet now, so I don't know if I will commentate this event or not.
It might just be me.
The numbers, you know.
Or I'll stand really in solidarity with Steve. One of the, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So you could have me and Noah. You could have two unknowns, which
would
could
probably
be
named Snowy.
One of them,
yeah,
right.
Which I just realized, I could say I stand in solidarity with Steve, and remain completely ambiguous.
Wait for that contract.
Yeah, that's a good negotiator.
You're gonna leave it open for me and Mark to then take over.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We're going to.
I'll
court.
Be at work, but I'll totally do it.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
That'd
yeah,
be great. Yeah, it'd be great.
Just don't. Don't care about the saw noises.
the meat hacking.
Yeah.
We'll just explain it that you're in a, you know, die in the sky helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
Live from the bandsaw, Mark with a tank.
Yeah, I'm just cutting some lamb here, and oh my gosh, that pick was amazing.
Yeah.
Back to you in the cozy room.
So that'll be exciting. You know, I think providing some kind of transparency in how the teams are going to get made, making a little spectacle of it and celebrating it. We're going to try and see if we can make it happen. I don't know how the lower division is going to work. There may be an opportunity to select captains and do the same thing. There may just need to be all right, let's just get together in a room and make the rules like a normal tournament. I kind of expect that to happen, particularly because I don't know if there is a reasonable expectation that all of the captains in the lower division would know all of the players. And so we might just need representatives from each of the centers to come together to help share information about each of the players so that we can make as fair teams as possible. I kind of know his opinion. I think that's probably the likely outcome of the lower division, is that we're going to get in a room with representatives from each of the centers and do our best to make fair teams. And again, that
should be a new segment.
Noah's opinion?
Noah's opinion.
Noah's opinion. I'm into it.
Just on anything.
I'm going to have to get some pretty hot takes.
Be like, hey, there's some great flavors in sunflower seeds out there. There's like Taco Supreme, Cheeseburger, Little Caesars Pizza. There's the regular.
Yeah.
What's okay. Noah's opinion?
So Noah's opinion is the food scientists that made, what did you say, cheeseburger flavored sunflower seeds spent too much time asking themselves if they could make cheeseburger flavored sunflower seeds and not enough time asking themselves if they should. Where they should focus is back on dill flavored sunflower seeds, vastly overlooked. Why isn't salt and vinegar a sunflower seed flavor that we've all heard of? Have you guys heard of All Dressed? Why hasn't Canadian sunflower seeds become a thing? This has been Noah's opinion.
Oh, I like the new segment of Noah's opinion.
I was, Mark, you hit the nail on the head. Noah, you delivered. A new segment, Noah's opinion. To the listeners out there, if there is something that you wish to know Noah's opinion on, make sure to call, text, post that shit. Let us know. And I think each episode we will, I don't know. Should we just start with one at a time, one per episode, or we could give like a couple?
We'll see what we get. Yeah. I mean, we'll see what we get.
That's right.
And then we'll pick the best out of it.
Yeah.
I like that. We got seeds and bumper boats. And, I mean, we're on a roll.
And Steve, you and I will discuss, it. That way, Noah has to come into it organically.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, next week we will go with Noah's opinion about
yeah, no synthetic opinions here. These are organic, artisanal opinions.
That's going to be...
What's Noah's opinion on Noah's opinion?
That's actually going to be the live episode of Noah's opinion is where Noah tries bumper boats for the first time. We gotta get Jeff in on the action, you know. Maybe you can get get some video.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Jeff, if you're listening, call us. Or we'll call you rather. That's the appropriate thing to do. I don't know.
Because if we say call us, then we don't know when he's gonna listen to this.
You're right. Like 5 years later. You guys still doing that bumper boat bit?
Man, we saw you like so many times, but you never gave me your phone number.
You never called us.
I never had your number. I don't know.
All right. I think if we've learned anything this episode, it's that, Steve, we got to reach out to Jeff if we want to make this happen.
Yeah.
Any other tidbits about the tournament that you want to share, Noah? I know that you and Snowy were a little chummy earlier. Yeah.
Oh, Snowy's the best. No, just super excited. Thanks to everybody that's putting this together. You know, I know Clint, as always, is helping out. Snowy is putting in just an incredible effort. You know, you've seen with the live streaming of the games that Josh mentioned earlier. That's going to be in full effect on the courts down there. It should be a pretty cool multimedia experience.
And to watch that footage, make sure you check out Whirlyball Texas on YouTube. That's where you get to view this live action this upcoming weekend.
And I know that they were asking for headshots so that they could put together a little intro, little team intro, pictures.
I sent them a previous mugshot of mine.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very menacing. Not really.
Yeah, I don't think I got to get something to Steve. I don't think I sent anything in. I think I'm delinquent.
I mean, you still have whatever, you know, the present is there.
Right. Depending on when you listen to this, we'll determine how much time I will have had previously. We're overusing the pluperfect subjunctive case.
Do you need me to send a headshot to Snowy for you? I mean, I know you're a busy guy.
No.
You'll manage?
I'll figure something out.
As long as you don't use the Facebooks.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably just send him a picture of Mystique, right? Isn't that the move?
You could be anybody on the court.
Send him that picture of the moose in the bumper boat.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do.
Oh, that should be our team shirts this year. A moose on a bumper boat.
On a bumper boat.
What's more Pacific Northwest than that, man?
Yeah.
That could be our team seal.
Moose on a bumper boat.
May cause drowsiness.
All right. We own that. Yeah. Yeah. Another question that Josh, you've posted on the forums that I would like Noah's hot take on.
Oh, jeez.
Is a earpiece on the court. You've talked about having a Bluetooth earpiece for communication purposes. I thought it was like a good discussion. What do you guys think about that?
Josh, I'm interested in your take first.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say really quick for everybody, who isn't aware of what we're talking about, you know, Bluetooth earpiece to be able to communicate to a coach or, you know, whoever, you know, you'd like, arguably, out on the court. And
could be your girlfriend.
Yeah. I mean, if you're getting whirly ball advice from her mid-game, I don't know if that's going to be the best strategy, but, you know.
Yeah, the live stream's a few seconds behind, so.
But, yeah, Josh, what is your take on the controversy? Is it a go or is it a no?
Yeah, I think retaking. I think it'd be tough to implement something like that. I think it'd be better more for like learning purposes because you know you have people like yelling to each other, hey, do this, do that, and you know half the time you can't even really hear what's going on, you know, when people are yelling. So I think it'd probably be a little distracting. Of course, it would be nice to say like, you know, so you're not yelling, give the other team the knowledge of like what you're looking for, you know, 2-on-1 or whatever. But I think it could work, but I think it would be more for like practice and learning rather than like the whole team hooked up or in the match.
Well, that's an interesting take.
Do you think it would help?
Oh, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, what about listening to music to get you into a groove while you're playing?
You know what? Part of the reason why I kind of thought about that is because Anthony goes around and always has an earpiece in every time he plays. And so that kind of got me thinking about it, basically.
Oh, that's fascinating. Is he listening to music?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know about playing, but I joked with him, like, let's sync up before. And he I forget the band he said, but he's definitely listening to music. I don't know if he is when he's playing, but he always has an earpiece in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that could be a new take. What's he listening to?
Yeah.
Biggest secret.
Is it like gospel or opera or, you know?
I assumed it was highlights of, you know, the crowd cheering as he shot in the past.
Yep.
See, I think it's like the Halo soundtrack, Chanting Monks.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I just assume
that's a good one.
It's books on tape as he's just trying to better himself.
Oh, there you go.
Wow. Green eggs, inspirational
green eggs
and
ham,
books?
Yeah, or you know,
like green eggs. And ham. Maybe it's just daily.
Fucking right, I am.
It's just a loop of I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me.
There you go. You know, sometimes I hear a mumbling, and it sounds like Spanish, so maybe it's Duolingo.
Oh,
yeah, you know,
yeah.
Just learn.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good time to learn it.
El queso es viejo y podrido. ¿Dónde está el banco?
There you go.
If I was learning Spanish while playing volleyball, I wouldn't know what he said.
Yeah. Or if you've ever watched Encino Man. Deep cut.
Oh.
Yeah. Cheese is old and moldy.
Where is the bathroom?
Where is the bathroom?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
The weasel. Yeah.
Weasel to use.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So my hot take on Bluetooth headsets for communication for practice purposes where the team talks to each other on the court so that they can hear each other a little bit more for practice. In a practice game situation, I am against it. And the reason is you don't have the ability to use the Bluetooth headset in the game, and so you should practice like you play. If communication is challenging because yelling is loud and it reverberates and it's tough to hear, well, you better practice yelling because that's all you're going to have in the game. And so you practice like you play. I'm against it.
Practice? We're talking about practice.
Now, if we're talking about in-game usage and allowing it in-game usage and coaches talking to players, I would be, how do I say it? My opinion is it's very easy to jam signals like that, and that's what I would be doing as an opposition player is I would have a jammer foiling your situation. Cause I think that's, you know, there's a special kind of skill that, and again, this is me now, the old and fuddy-duddy.
You have a certain set of skills.
When I was new, I probably would have been more in favor of this because I remember my coach banging on the glass and telling me like, Noah, you gotta look at me so I can give you cryptic hand signals to help you determine whether or not you need to change your formations. And I had to, you know, get enough awareness to be able to like, oh, okay, I have a breath, so let me go take a look at my coach. And then I go take a look at my coach, and my coach is drinking a soda and not looking at me. So I turn back to the game, and we've missed each other, and I'll see him again in 45 seconds. And, you know, that's all part of it, and we got to figure that out. If I had a headset speaker where one of...
Do you want to throw anybody under the bus right now?
No, not at all.
All right.
But I also have had coaches that are, if we had the ability to have long form conversations, I would have ripped out that earpiece and thrown it away because like I will determine when I have spare mental capacity for you to talk to me. If you just start talking to me while I'm in the middle of like trying to hold position on a player that's trying to school me, like ain't nobody got time for that. Least of all my ears. So because of that, again, this is just me being old fuddy-duddy. I remain against it.
So what if you're listening to Bob Marley and you're just jamming?
Well, in that case, I believe I would be, I'd be jamming, we jamming, we jamming, we jamming, we jamming, we jamming. And yeah. I could
be jamming with you.
The challenge I would have is, let's say I've got a teammate and we're trying to execute a 3-on-2, but they're following me to the right side and they're just jamming and jamming and jamming and jamming and jamming and jamming and jamming. And I'm yelling something, directional, like, I don't know, roll middle, please roll middle. Please. Could you go to the middle? Please roll to the middle. You absolute jerk face who isn't able to communicate with their team because they're jamming. That would be really frustrating if they couldn't comply with the eyes forward, ears back mentality.
And they think you're yelling pajamas.
That's right. And they're like, all right.
And they're like, pajamas, pajamas, pajamas. And you're like, go to sleep. And, like,
yeah,
just
and then
throws
everyone
it
just
off.
Gets like, oh, okay, I'll play sleepy. I'll slow down and I'll just. Yeah. Now, that being said, it is really interesting to think about. And I do think that there is a place for it. I'll tell you, one of the places I think there is as a referee, I would like to be able to communicate sometimes to individual players because I'd like to practice a little bit more preventative officiating, and I'd like to be able to say things like, ooh, that was close to extension, but I'm not going to call it this time, but, you know, I'm watching you. Keep your cheeks on the seat. I would very much like to do a little bit of preventative officiating, and for that controversial reason, I'm for it. This has been Noah's Opinion.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. This
we're
going to
get
one.
Part two on the next episode on why he's for it. My goodness. I don't know if I could even follow that up, man. That's it's a deep take. So, you know.
See what you've done, Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Josh, I love this. You know, we are running a little bit out of time here. It looks like we're ready to start wrapping this thing up. So Josh, I might ask you, are there any other, last thoughts or impressions that you would like to leave Whirly Ball Nation with, before we let you go?
No, I think the only thing is, hey, if you see me, feel free to introduce yourself.
Nope.
You
know, oh, Jen, I will. I'll be there.
Jen, well, not everybody, just, you know, because, you know. No, please come up, say hi. I had a lot of fun at the last one in Minnesota, getting to know everybody, and I just look forward to playing with new people. So it's looking forward to Hurst, and I do want to congratulate myself in past, present, and future, depending on when you listen to us, about my win in Texas. So looking forward to that.
Yes.
Man, I like it. I like the
Josh, it has been such a treat. You know, we were talking about who we should have next as a guest, and we have leaned heavy into You know, all these guys that have been around for a long time, a lot of these unlimited players, A players, you know, owners. And it was really important to us to connect to just such a, just a cool personality, really personable, really funny, you know, up and comer, just a great addition to the Whirlyball community. We're so happy to have you, and to have your engagement on the Facebook site and in person. Really special guy. Thank you for joining us.
On the final episode of What in the World? You heard it here first.
And for the last time.
Yeah. And we will. Yeah. And we, I can't wait to see you, man. We'll see you in a couple of days in Hearst, Texas.
Awesome. Not me, though. Sorry.
All right. Got some Butterfingers on the board tonight. My bad. Know what to say about that other than you're listening to What in the World podcast. The Ambassador Steve Boat along Mark Mills, a.k.a. Cramyar Slim.
The podcast.
And of course, the host of Noah's Opinion, our good friend, Mr. Noah Aaron.
Your time is not linear.
It is not here, right? I can tell you that much. Thanks to all the listeners out there. Make sure you download, subscribe, all the good things with these podcasts. And in the meantime, don't let those whirly balls hit in the face.
Cleveland rocks, baby.
Love you.